The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring he ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Notice, please, the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10 and verse 8. 7, please. Verse 7, I'm sorry. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. That's all we read. If perchance some of you have heard me say something along this line at other times, some other time in your assembly, I compliment you on your good memory, and I accept your compliment for having said something that you remembered anyway. I don't have to tell you hardly my subject if you read what I read. I'm going to talk about giving. Don't grab your purse. I'm not going to take it away from you. I think it was Dr. Alfred Adler, a famed American psychiatrist, who said, all the ills of personality come from failure to realize that it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know what your personality is? Well, of course, your personality is how you affect other people. The impression you leave on people. It's not necessarily your nature. You know, we don't really see each other's nature. Only God sees that. But your nature filters through you, the person, and goes out to other people. You touch other people every day. You affect people. You're always dealing with people. We're always dealing with people. And how you affect people all the time, that's your personality. Not what you really are, but it's how people see you, it's how you affect people. Now, this famous man says all the troubles, personality troubles, come from the failure, our failure to realize that it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, we're living in a grabbing age. Everybody's grabbing all they can get, and when they get it, they hang on to it for dear life. Lock it up, put it in a safety box, put it behind bars or somewhere. If you let go, somebody will grab it and run off with it. That's the kind of day we're living in. Everybody's grabbing. Want more. Everybody wants more. That's what unions are for. They want more. And that's what executives are for. Make more money. Well, of course, you've got to make money. And they say if you don't go forward, you're going backwards. Just a minute now. You and I are Christians. And we're living in this world. And there's nobody in the world like us. Nobody. I think it was a Huntsville conference that was last week. I said if this world could only see you and me today, the way they're going to see us one day soon, they would kiss your feet. They don't really know who you are. They don't know who you are. The world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Had they known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Did the world know who you are? I tell you, they'd treat you differently than they do. One day they're going to say, if I only knew. Well, they're going to know someday. But what they know today is how you impress them as a Christian. Now then, the Lord Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You don't believe that, do you? How many times have you said to somebody else, what did you get? What'd you get? Oh, maybe it's your birthday or, you know, Christmas or something. What'd you get? How often do you hear somebody say, what did you give? I don't know, what does it matter? You know, it's not what you give that matters. It's what you get that matters, man. It's what you get. It's more blessed to get than to give. Oh, is it? Not what the Lord said. The Lord said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And here you and I are making such a fuss over getting things. Well, you know what the trouble is, don't you? We're just so much like the world. You know, the Lord Jesus said about himself that he didn't come to be ministered unto, to serve. He didn't come for people to serve him. He came to serve people. You know, it's nice to sit back and get that for me. I want this. Give me a drink of water. Oh, yeah, that's great. Big shot, eh? Yeah, just like the devil. But that Lord Jesus wasn't like that. He came to give. He came to serve. He said it was he himself who said it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, those of you who hear me once in a while, you've heard me say, one wonderful thing that I like about the ways of God, they make sense. God's ways make sense. And one wonderful thing that what God likes about us most, what God likes about me most, you know, it's not that I'm a preacher. Oh, no. God can make preachers, that's easy enough. What God likes most about his people is what they are all the time. Get that? And the wonderful thing about Christianity, you know, it's what you are all the time. That's what matters. And if you notice reading the Word of God about God's men, it's what they were all the time. Not their failures. I know you can fall and make a mess of things. But what God notices, likes about you and me is what we do all the time, what we are all the time. And being a Christian is something you are all the time. It's something you gotta be all the time. You know, it's not like as I've said sometimes, when I was a teenager, you know, I used to pick up these popular science and popular mechanics, you know, and they've all got, you know, they've got advertisements there about the strong man, you know, Charles Atlas. Boy, I tell you, when I was a teenager, I used to look at those things in my head, man, I'm gonna get some of these things, you know, make me a He-Man. But I have muscles like bee's knees. And you know, the good thing about it, the wonderful thing about it is, you know, the advertisement says, don't you believe the advertisement? The fact of life. Just give me 15 minutes a day, and I'll make a man out of you. Well, you'll never hear God saying, give me 15 minutes a day and I'll make a Christian out of you. Oh, no. Never. God wants us, in fact, He demands us 24 hours a day. And that's the only kind of Christianity that's worth the name. And the wonderful thing about our Christianity is that we can practice it all the time. You can't practice your Christianity 15 minutes a day. No, no. You know, when you meet a preacher, oh God, you've got to be careful how you behave yourself as a preacher. Boy, I walked into a house once and I sat down and I was told to, and the lady of the house didn't even know I was there. And there were three or four or five other people in the room, and she walked into the room. It was her house. She walked into the room and she was saying something, and all of a sudden she spied me and she said, who was the preacher? Man, you would have think it was a, you know, thought it was an angel or something. Oh, no. No, 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 no. That's not Christianity. No, that's what we are all the time. Well, here's something you can do as a Christian all the time. What's that? Give. Oh, see, I told you I wasn't interested in your pocketbook. Boy, you wouldn't be giving all the time out of your pocket, but it wouldn't last long, would it, eh? Of course, it depends on how you dished it out. But anyway, I want you to notice what it says in Matthew chapter 10. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Notice that this is a healing ministry. It's all healing. Undoing the damage that Satan has done, that sin has done. Listen, freely you have received, freely give. Oh, and then he says, don't take any money with you. See? Didn't I tell you I didn't want your money? Don't take any money with you. But he says, you receive freely. Give freely. How can you give? How can you give when you haven't got any money? When the Lord said, don't take any money, how are you going to give? He said, don't take any money. Freely you have received, freely give. Ah, but don't you notice, see, it's in connection with what they got in their relationship to the kingdom. Preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Freely have received, freely give. Well, what are you going to give? Well, I'll tell you what to give if you tell me what you got. What did you get? And I'll tell you what to give. What did you get? When you were born again and brought into the kingdom of God, what did you get? Well, that's what to give. You know, the Lord never asked anybody to give what they haven't got. Not in the New Testament. Not in this relationship. What does he say? Freely have received. And then he says, freely give. So he's not asking you to give anything until you get it. Okay. What did you get? I'll tell you what you got. Well, you got forgiveness, didn't you? Now, didn't you get forgiveness? Didn't the Lord forgive you? Yes, He did. He forgave you freely. Well, you forgive freely. Yeah? You know, there's a lot of Christians, and almost to look at them, you can see it in their faces. You know, when you think about a thing, when you carry on a way of thinking about things long enough, it'll stick out in your face. It'll stick out in your face. Yes, it will. My brother and sister, you've been forgiven freely. And the Lord's saying, give freely. Give forgiveness. You can't be a happy Christian. I don't care who you are. You cannot be a happy Christian and maintain an unforgiving spirit. No, you can't. It'll wither up your soul. In fact, do you know what God says? If you don't forgive in your heart your brother, your heavenly Father won't forgive you. Do you want to spend the half your life not forgiven, unforgiven? Well, you can be a Christian and not be forgiven.
Oh, so easy there, Mr. Adams.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about trusting Christ your Savior and getting your sins forgiven through faith in Him. I'm talking about your Heavenly Father. How your Heavenly Father is going to treat you if you don't treat your brother the way He has treated you. My father taught us to sing when we were all at home. Five kids at home taught us to sing Ephesians 4 and 32. I've never heard anybody sing it, but I did find once somebody who knew the same tune. My father didn't invent the tune. He heard it somewhere. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. How? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I find within my wicked heart here the ability to hold something against a person. This isn't easy. It isn't easy. But I have to take a hold of myself by the scruff of the neck and say, listen here, Arnold Adams, you hang on to that feeling toward that brother, that sister, you'll dry up, wither up, and die. I can feel it in my bones. I can be unforgiving. You think I can't be unforgiving? I can hold a thing against you easy. Easy I can hold it against you. It's a natural thing for these wicked hearts to hold something against a person. And I have been able to detect. You know, I got to live with this guy 24 hours a day, and we have an awful time. I'm fighting with him all the time, trying to get him to behave himself, not be so stupid, act the way he does, and talk the way he does, and feel the way he does. So I fight. Battling with him all the time. And I have felt me establishing an attitude. You know, whenever I think of that person, I always think the same way about them. And I have detected myself establishing an unforgiving attitude toward people. Well, you thought preachers never did a thing like that. Well, I want to tell you something. You don't know me, and you don't know these preachers down here. You know these preachers here exactly the same as I am. I know. You know why? Because I'm like they are. They're like I am. Because they're no different than you are. So I'm going to tell you something else. We preachers just can't think that we can act like everybody else. Oh no. No. As he goes before the flock,
We have to set an example.
You know, conferences, these are great places, you know, where preachers can preach to the preachers here. You can't preach to preachers in the assemblies. But you know, preachers need this little word. I had a dandy word and I've been enjoying it all week. And the Lord wouldn't let me give it. That's why I couldn't get up yesterday, no how. So I had to dispose of it. And the Lord insisted, I didn't even get my notes on this one, this message, but the Lord insisted that I just pass it out this afternoon. We preachers need this. You know, it's easy to get up here and preach. It's easier to preach for 45 minutes than it is for 15. Easier to preach for an hour than it is for 15 minutes. But you know, we preachers, we have to be careful lest we be preaching to others and think that's all we've got to do is to be able to preach. Well, I'm going to tell you something. No man's word is effective beyond the effect it has on himself. Preachers can't get up here and say, now you do as I tell you, whether I do it or not. Oh no, God doesn't let us get away with that. We have to practice what we preach. And because we preach so much, we've got to practice more than the average Christian. Sure we do. We've got to read our Bibles more than the average Christian. You've got to go down to the office. We don't have to go to the office. We've got to go to study and pray, read our Bibles, and get into them. Give what's been given to you. That's what the Lord says. You've been forgiven, you forgive. My brother and sister, I know there are Christians and they refuse to forgive. I'm talking about in their hearts. I'm not talking about assembly discipline. I'm not talking about that. Our brethren have talked about that wisely, correctly, necessarily. And I said amen to everything they said. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the feelings that we hold in our hearts toward any Christian at all. The Lord will not allow you or me to hold an unforgiving spirit toward any other Christian. Because our Heavenly Father won't forgive us. We fail, and He won't forgive us if we don't forgive. He won't forgive you if you don't forgive your brother, your sister. You be careful, my sister. My sister, you be careful. What goes over the phone, what goes over the wires. You be careful. Be careful about that telephone. It's a hellish thing when it gets into the wrong hands. When it handles what shouldn't be handled. What else have you been given? Oh, now you begin to say, freely you have received, freely give. Yes, He's loved you freely. He's loved you freely. Oh, let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. He's loved you freely, then freely give it. That's the way everybody will know that you're a disciple. It's a wonderful thing. Man, this is something we talk about all afternoon. But loving one another. And what it does. How it works. Love thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Does not behave itself unseemly. Thinketh not her own. Seeketh not her own. Love. And you know a wonderful thing about love? Never fails. Want to get rid of all your enemies? Love them, and you'll lose the whole work. And if a little doesn't work, you can always increase the dose. I read on a medicine bottle, take as often as necessary. Well, this is something you can give it as often as necessary. And you know why you can give it? Because you've been given it. My brother and sister, we were not made to be storage tanks. No. That's why we sing a little hymn in our Believer's Hymn Book. Channels only, blessed Master. Channels only. Not storage tanks, no. Channels only. Talking about personality ills, Did you ever meet a Christian that get cantankerous, cranky, fussy, petulant, childish? See? What's the matter? Well, the shoes are getting tight. Oh, yeah. And making a corn. They're callous. And pretty soon, raw flesh. And it hurts. What's the matter? They're not giving. They think everything should be coming in. Let it all come my way and keep it coming. All for me. Trying to be a storage tank, eh? Building up pressure. That's what happens. You build up pressure. If it keeps coming your way, it builds up pressure. And as sure as anything, it'll burst at the weakest point. Oh, and you say, that's my weakness. Oh, sure, that's where you broke open. That's where you burst open, your weakest point. But you burst open if you don't release the pressure by giving out as fast as it comes in. You're made to be a channel, you see. And as fast as it comes in, pass it on. And you can't get one more drop than you give out. Channels only. You can't put an extra drop in until a drop goes out the other end. You can't put a gallon in this end until you get to let a gallon out the other end. A channel. A channel. Love. God so loved the world that he gave. That's why 1 Corinthians 13 says, now light of faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Why? Because God is love. God isn't faith, and God isn't hope. Faith and hope are creature terms. They don't belong to God. God doesn't hope for anything. God doesn't trust anybody. He doesn't have faith in anybody. He only trusts himself. He's self-sufficient, self-existent. He doesn't need anybody or anything. Ah, but God is love. And you've been loved freely. He's poured his love into your heart. Give it out. Would you like the Lord to love you more? Well, you give more and you get more. That's why I read in Luke chapter 6, give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given unto you. So if you want more, give more. And the more you give, the more you get. And so it comes. And so it goes. And if it doesn't go, it won't come. All right? Something else you've been given. Joy. Ah, wonderful thing to be a Christian, isn't it? That your joy might be full. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Now you know where I'm getting my point. Are you happy? You are? Well, thank the Lord. Oh, sure. How could anybody not be happy at a conference? Well, I wonder that too, you know. It's just great to be with God's people. And it's great to sit and listen to the Word of God. You know, I wish I could come to a conference and just sit and listen, you know. Some of these preachers, they won't let you do that. And, you know, sometimes that's why, of course, I know sometimes I come to, you know, feel a responsibility. That's part of the job, but it would be nice sometimes, I feel it would be nice sometimes, if they did let me alone and let me sit and not bother, just let me sit and listen. That's one of the reasons why I come to a conference. I get. Oh, it's nice to get, you know. Ah, but I get nowhere if I don't give to. And you know, the Lord has given me joy. And a wonderful thing to be a Christian. A happy thing, a blessed thing. Lord, give you any joy. Did you ever get any joy? Tell me something. Could you stand a little more? That's what I'm interested in this afternoon. Could you stand a little more joy than you've got? Well, I remember hearing about a dear sister. I said, Lord, don't give me any more happy. I couldn't stand it. I'll bust. Don't give me any more joy, Lord. I'll bust. Well, I don't see many in here that are in that condition. So if you could stand a little more joy, how about giving some of what you got? Pass it on. Someone has said, joy is the flag that flies from the palace of the heart to say the king is in residence. That's what used to be the king in it. And we'll have a king someday. Now we've got a queen. Wherever the queen goes, wherever she is, where she dwells, her flag is up. The queen's in residence, her flag's up. The queen's there. That's what joy is. That's what joy is with a Christian.
When you see a happy Christian, the king's there. The king's in residence. Ah, yes, we've got the king. Drop the flag. Give a little joy, and you get more. If you meet somebody that hasn't got a smile, give them one of yours. You've got lots more.
My, I like what Brother Leonard Shelvick here said down at Huntsville the other day. Oh, I'm not going to forget that, boy. That's a good one. I'm going to tell you, because some of you weren't there. I don't suppose it was even original, you know. Most of what we say not original. But anyway, I'm giving him the credit for it, because as far as I'm concerned, I'm giving him the credit for it. You know what he said?
A smile is the curve that puts a lot of things straight. Isn't that nice?
Boy, I tell you.
So if you meet somebody that hasn't got one, give them one of yours. You've got lots more. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Press down. Shaken together. Fill all the corners. All you can take. And running over.
Well, that's it, you see.
Running over. You can't hold it all. Somebody else is going to get the benefit of it. One more thing you've been given, and that's peace.
That's not the only one more than you're giving, you know, but that's the only one I'm going to mention.
Peace. Ah, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, once in a while you meet somebody and they're just not peacemakers. They all got something to crab about. All got somebody's wrong, this is wrong or that wrong, you know. And, you know, even if the sky's blue and there's a black cloud up there, ooh, look at that black cloud. Notice all the blue. Forget that the blue of heaven is larger than the clouds.
Listen, you've been given peace. Oh, the peace of God, the wonderful thing.
Peace with God to begin with, and then behind that comes the peace of God.
You know how you get that, don't you? Well, Philippians 4, isn't it? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And when you get it, pass it on.
Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Can you stand some more peace? A little turmoil? Can you stand some more?
Give some.
Give it out. Blessed are the peacemakers, said the Lord in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5. Blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, they're a wonderful people. It's always nice to meet a peacemaker. My father used to try and hammer through our thick hides that verse, and boy, I tell you, we got it every once in a while. It seemed, you know, now it seems to me that we got it every day. Let us follow after the things that make for peace.
Oh, we kids, we couldn't pay attention to that, you know. It's more fun fighting than scrapping.
Why? Well, that's what, you know, you give that and that's what you get. We're born, you know, we're born fighting. That shows we're fallen creatures.
Ah, but these are things that come from God. These are things that come from God. You just get what you give.
Did you notice what it said there? With the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. God is the one behind these scriptures, you know. You get what you give. And no more. Now just think that over. If you're not a happy Christian, you're just getting what you give.
So if there's something along this line, love, forgiveness, oh yeah, love, joy, peace, if you really want some more, you feel you haven't got enough of these things, start giving it out.
Handing it out! And watch it flow in.
That's God's way. You know, you can see now why the Lord Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Well, you know, so much these days, you know, I'm on a diet. I'm going to start tomorrow morning. I'm going to start my diet tomorrow morning. Well, you know, this is just like that. Being a Christian is just like that. Practicing Christianity is just like that. We're all going to start tomorrow morning. Listen, don't you dare start tomorrow morning. You start right now. You'll never start tomorrow morning. You never start your diet tomorrow morning. Start right now. And as I said, a wonderful thing about this is, you can practice it all the time. That's Christianity. All the time. What God likes most about us is what we are all the time. And this is what you can be all the time. So, I'm just going to say this one more thing and sit down. If you don't believe me, you just try it. It works. God will be true to His word. He's the one that said, the Lord Jesus said each one of these things, verses that I read, they're the words of the Lord Jesus. So you prove to your own self it's more blessed to give than to receive. In fact, it's more God-like. God help us. Each one, for His name's sake.